ever thought you're just stuck with acne scars or even chicken pox scars? Well, the good news is you're not. So today we're going to talk about how to go from scars to smooth. Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Her podcast. I'm Dr. Amy Brenner, and today we have one of our really great nurse practitioners, Samantha Bauman.
Hello. Thanks for
Hi.
having me.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Obviously, we can talk another day about why you end up with acne scars or chicken pox scars, but why do people get acne scars?
A lot of it has to do with the type of acne someone has. Some of it's just truly genetics and how your skin's going to heal, and it runs in families that, you get acne and then you scar. Another component of it, though, is actually where they come from is when your skin is going through the healing process, and it commonly acne scars are going to come from more of those like cystic deep acne that people get, not necessarily those superficial like pustule little white heads. And what happens is your skin starts to heal, there's not enough collagen production, the skin then kind of divots and it adheres to like deeper levels of the skin tissue, and then it kind of makes, instead of healing smooth, it'll make that divot into your skin. That's kind of what causes the scarring and leaves the indent. There's obviously different types of scars. I personally don't think that's super important to talk about and get in the weeds over, because they're all treated to some degree pretty similar. There's kind of two types that I want to talk about today that I think are important and that you treat. And it's basically the uneven surface, where the skin is kind of indented in and healed to like a deeper level and adhere to a deeper level of the tissue, and then also the pigment that you'll get. So you'll get like the red or the purple, but something we would call PIH or post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation.
And you could have one or one or the other or
Or
both.
both. Yeah, definitely. The great thing about them is it's probably one of my favorite things to treat. I think because I've really had great results and a lot of success treating both, clearing up acne or PIH or pitting scars. I think that it's a bit of a journey.
It is a journey, and it doesn't happen overnight
No.
with one session at one of our offices. It's
Yes.
a marathon and
And you
not a
do.
sprint.
You have to trust the process and know that there's some things that I would recommend that you do at home. So I think if you're okay with it, I'll start with like if we treated PIH. If you came in
Well, let
and
me
you
back up
only
a
had
second. Do you think that the acne needs to be really under control first before we go down treating the kind of the damage that it's left behind?
I do. I
Or for the
really
most
do. For the
part.
most part. Yes. No, I definitely think that it should be cleared up. Otherwise, you're going to go and you're going to spend this money and time, and then you might get other scarring. Because again, like I mentioned, if you're someone prone to acne scarring and you're still getting acne, then guess what? You're going to likely get new spots. So yeah, getting it under control, I think, is definitely step number one.
All right. Well, let's head into what can we do about it?
Okay. So if you came in and you were someone that really just had pigment issues, right? So that red, or even some people do like kind of a brown or purple tinge, I would say red or pinkish is more common. That PIH, post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. I think products at home are very important. And that would be where I would tell you to definitely start and simultaneously treat with what I'm going to recommend in our office. So people with a darker Fitzpatrick type are also going to be more prone to something called PIH. So someone like, I always make the bad joke and say my blonde hair is not real, but someone with brown hair, brown eyes, like myself, I am very prone to hyperpigmentation. So I am someone that even though if I get like a little pimple, it is going to hyperpigment on me.
Yeah, same. I've had a mosquito bite before,
Right.
hyperpigment.
And so there are going to be certain skin types, whether it be, Asian, Indian, African American, Caucasian, with a darker fits like yourself, like me, again, both of us brown hair, brown eyes, you're going to be more prone to that hyperpigmenting. So first of all, home regimen, retinol, I think, is very important to just help with cellular turnover There's a few different types. I don't think we have to go too specific. You could do a tretinoin, or you could do a retinol if your skin's a little too sensitive to tret. We have a couple great options here. The other things that I think could be helpful would be like a hydroquinone, which is a essentially a skin bleaching cream. I know that bleaching word sounds harsh, but hydroquinone at 4% is great, can be used long term. I also think vitamin C is important. I always tell everyone vitamin C, no matter what, it's going to help lighten, tighten, and brighten your skin. So I think those three products, if you're trying to get even skin tone, are the three most important.
Yeah. And they have a lot of side benefits that we've talked about in other podcasts as well. So they have a lot of side benefits, not so much side effects when used correctly.
Yep, for sure. Those are things that I would absolutely tell you to do at home, and would walk you through a regimen on how to apply them and when, what time of day and how often. As far as things that I would also recommend in the office, I think that there is probably my favorite regimen for that is actually rotating or doing them in a series of peels and microneedling. If it's not too bad, we're just talking about hyperpigmentation. That's what I would try first, is I would recommend a series of the VI peels along with a series of microneedling. That generally works if it's not horrible.
And just
pigment.
Regular microneedling.
Okay. Works great. And then your home regimen.
And when you say home regimen, these are medical grade skincare, not
correct.
What you get at the grocery
no,
store.
Absolutely not. Okay. Yes. No, definitely not. You have to have like a technical prescription for tretinoin and the hydroquinone for sure. But that would be where I would start. If I felt like your pigment was maybe more, and this is where, you know, a consult's so important, because there's going to be different recommendations based on your skin type and your ethnicity and obviously how severe the hyperpigmentation is. But other things that I would say could be used, potentially a BBL. I've seen that work well. On people who kind of have more of that like rosacea and some residual redness from acne. It's not always my go-to, but certainly something that I think could work.
And BBL, could you just, in case haven't
that would
heard us talk,
be,
or BBL, or
that's important,
in other locations, it can also be called an IPL.
Yep, so it stands for broadband light. And basically, it is a kind of a sprint, not a marathon, but a sprint in color correction, so correcting your tone, whether it's pigment like dark spots, sunspots, or like browns, or if it's reds like a rosacea or the residual redness some people get from acne. So yeah, that would be one option. Other options that could work would be Morpheus, which is a radio frequency microneedling. So that's going to penetrate deeper than traditional microneedling, and then it also has a heat component to it, the radio frequency, which can be helpful. And I'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the pitting. And then another option for pigment, specifically redness, would be our CO2 laser. I think that's another option you could do. Again, it would depend on how severe the discoloration is. And, you know, again, take into consideration, is this someone coming in with the pitting scars, or are we just talking about, you know, the residual hyperpigmentation?
Sure. All right, well, let's move on to the scarring, whether it's from acne or even this would work for significant chickenpox scars.
For sure. Again, I think that microneedling is an option, traditional microneedling. I would say if you're a mild, maybe moderate scarring patient, that would potentially be an option for you. Something that I personally love to add on to microneedling or Morpheus or a CO2 laser, all three things, is something that I do here called subcision. It is not a fancy machine. It is literally a blunt tip cannula that I use that basically goes in there, and I'm just trying to break up those like adhesions that where the, like I mentioned, that the skin heals and adheres to like deeper levels. So I just try to go in and break that up. And then you, on top of that, will do, like I mentioned, microneedling, Morpheus, or the CO2 laser. I think that this is where it's an individual case-by-case scenario, you know, because we're trying to, basically, my goal is to always do best bang for your buck. So if you're someone coming in with, you know, severe acne scars along with pigment issues, then, you know, I'm probably not going to recommend microneedling for you. But if you're, you know, I would probably go the route of subcision along with a Morpheus, where we do a deeper penetration with the microneedling needles along with that radio frequency heat or the CO2 laser. Yeah, I think that that's where, again, you'd come in for a consult. We would kind of figure out what your goals are, what bothers you. Is it the pitting? Is it the pitting, you know, and the unevenness of your skin? Is it the discoloration? And then, you know, figure out which regimen would, you know, treat all of your concerns the best.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that this gives you hope. Samantha did a great job of summarizing this for us, but as you can see, it's very individualized, and it's not as simple as she lays it out. But if you're suffering from acne scars or discoloration from prior acne, we'd love to see you in our office and talk about a regimen that would be right for you.